Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
This is where you're at. It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng. That was Peter Adol. I am yours for life. And these are the words he is saying unto the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Make me your very own. I am totally devoted to you. Are we? I know we can sing that song, all of us, but I'm wondering if we are really devoted to him. If anything would come and say, and they say, we will kill you if you continue to proclaim him as Lord, will you stand for it? And when challenges come, is he still yours? Are you still totally devoted to him? So let's do stock taking on a daily basis. I'm so delighted. It's yet another Friday. I'm with my queen. I'm with Mama, Dr. Pearl Coupe, on the other side. My queen, how are you, Ma?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you, Sibongile. And what a great question for the listeners. Are we really devoted to him? Because, you know, God mentions the fact that, you know, we worship him with our lips, but our hearts are far away from him.
Eesh.
So, yeah, so that's a very good question, because even God asked us that. He said, we talk about how much we worship him, but our actions and our hearts
are saying otherwise.
Yeah.
One other thing, but I think we think that we got time. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
We got time. We don't know that tomorrow it might be Chaile time. It might be over.
Yeah. No, exactly. But a good afternoon to all the listeners out there who I'm sure are looking so much forward to the weekend. It's been a long week.
Yeah.
They're looking forward to some time of rest.
Yeah, and I've been getting some messages. Yo, when I leave Dr. Pearl Coupe, let's hear a thing, Yanu. And I'm like, family, you should read the news. Let's make it a habit of reading the news and listening to the news, having our ears on the ground. So some are fighting with me. Now you're talking compulsory. I'm like, no, that's not what we are saying with mom. We are not for compulsory contraceptives for teenagers.
You see, that's the problem right there, Bongi, is that as Christians, we don't get involved in these conversations. And when these policies and laws are passed on us without us as the body of Christ being involved, then Ramakala, we're shocked. And so it's very important to be having these conversations so that we can now express the biblical position. And that's what we're doing. We're very clear about this is about expressing biblical position. But if we don't talk about it, one day you parents are going to wake up and find that this compulsory contraception has been imposed on your children in the same manner as comprehensive sexuality education has been. So it's important for us to talk about it, to talk about the negative implications, and to talk about what we can do to stop it, prevent it, or minimize its impact. And that's what we're trying to do.
So, Ma, there's one question that came to me about parents' consent. Yeah, the MEC mentioned that it would only be done with if parents accept and they are consenting to it, then the children would have that contraceptive implant. But now there are those parents who are asking a question. As a Christian, then, how do you teach your child who's already gone out of their way and they're doing their own thing? You're trying to bring them in order. I've had many parents who are saying they found out that their children were engaging in sexual activity at a very young age. Some would punish their children and all that. But they're like, now, how do you bring them back? And some are saying, but what would be the implications if we would have our children do that? Or how do we then communicate with them? What advice do you have for those parents who are struggling with their teenagers currently, who are now active and they are Christians? They are raised in a Christian family.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me address the issue of what the MEC, because you've raised a lot of issues in your the mouthful of a statement. And there's something before I address how do you bring your children back. You said this MEC made a statement to say only with the parents' consent.
Yeah.
Well, let me first address that, because the Children's Act allows for a lot of things to be done on children. For instance, they can have an abortion without, from the age of 12, without their parents' consent. So I would like to address that, to say that in terms of legislation, it allows for certain things to be done on children without their consent. So don't be deceived by statements like that. Even the aspect of vaccination and COVID vaccination on children, you know, so it, I think it's a statement that's just being said just to make you feel good and think, everything is fine. Don't be deceived by that, because there's law out there, according to the Children's Act, I think it's Section 126 around there, Children's Act. Children can do certain things, engage in sex, have abortions without their parents' consent. So it is unlikely that the government will pursue consent because of that. I think it's just a statement that's just being said to make you feel good. And to so that parents don't object to it. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. Second thing, we've talked, Bongi, about the fact that Proverbs 22:6, it's very important what Proverbs 22:6 says. And it says to teach and train children while they are young. And we've had this conversation on this radio and discussed why it's important to have this conversation with children while they're young. And we've even discussed the fact that comprehensive sexuality education, which is teaching our children anti-biblical ways of having sex, is being taught to six-year-olds, grade R's now. So it means that the agenda of the world understands the importance of teaching children whilst they are still small. So I first of all want to say that to our parents, that in the first instance, please, if your child is still young and small, do not think they are too young to understand these issues. This is exactly why the Bible says teach them when they're young, because if you wait too long, then you will find that your child is already engaging in practices they should not be engaging. So that's to the one set of parents whose children are still young, to say, let us be preventative. Let's not wait until children are already 6 years old and the world and Babylon is teaching your children how to have sex. So by the age of six, know that if you haven't taught your child and trained them by the age of six in schools, comprehensive sexuality education, they're going to start teaching your child from the age of six. So that's a big warning out there. Secondly, children, parents whose children are already engaging sex, let me first start off by saying I really commiserate, and I want to just send out, you know, lots of love. And the first instance I would say to you is you're going to need to pray. You are going to need to pray, because once that wrong foundation has been set in, then it's very difficult to draw them out of it. And the first, so it's going to be prayer. Also, I would even suggest, even in certain instances, many instances, they may need deliverance and counseling. Because the issue of sexual activity quite often can even bring transference of wrong spirits. And some of those spirits are result in rebellion. And that's why children will not listen to you, because there's a lot of things that are transmitted physically, sexually, spiritually in engaging of sex. And that's why the Bible warns us not to engage in sex out of marriage. So from a physical perspective, transmission can be through lots of diseases, HIV, AIDS, STDs, herpes, you know, complex, all sorts of things that can be transmitted. Spiritually as well, there are spiritual demonic spirits that can also be transferred. So you're going to have to really dig deep in prayer. And, you know, scripture tells us that Jesus mentions that there's certain dimensions which will require prayer and fasting, that this kind is only dealt with in prayer and fasting. So I would even recommend to parents whose children are already, you know, deep-rooted, engaged in sex, that have a time of prayer and fasting Because the thing is, when somebody is affected demonically, I always tell people, you cannot counsel demons out. They have to be cast out. Mm. So when somebody is demonically impacted or influenced, there's a level where they're not going to hear what you say. So really, there's some aspect where it might be necessary for you to take them for deliverance, to pray deliverance over them. And then you can counsel them, because there's some spirits, when they come into you, they make you deaf and dumb that you can't even hear counsel.
Yes.
So what I'm just saying to you is, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. It's a warfare. But because we love our children, we are prepared to lay our lives down to warfare for them in the spiritual realm. I would even suggest, you know, those prayer partners that you trust, you know, share with them and get some prayer back up, because definitely it is going to be warfare. It is going to be warfare, but we don't give up. We can always, you know, we've got examples of stories in the Bible of people who have come out of all sorts of issues and immorality issues. So God's anointing is able. The anointing removes every burden, destroys every yoke. If you have faith, that faith can move that mountain of stubbornness, can move that mountain of rebellion that may be in your child.
Yeah.
So just dig in and stay rooted in faith. You know, pray over your child every day. Release the word over your children every day. Don't give up. Keep inviting them if they don't want to go to services. Keep inviting them, you know, in the hopes that they will eventually come back. Keep inviting them. I, as a teenager, went through a very rebellious period between the ages of 19 and 25.
Okay.
Very rebellious. Yes, I was partying. I was drinking, alcohol, all sorts of, you know, things going on, boyfriends. But my mother did not stop praying for me. I would come back from parties 2 a.m., you know, to my mother's house. And I would find my mother still up praying for me when I'm sneaking into the house at 2 a.m. Mm. And I would hear her literally praying for, and those prayers were answered, because look where I am today by God's grace.
Yeah.
So I want to leave you with that testimony to say it pays to pray. God sees your tears. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The issue is not to stop praying, not to stop trusting God, not to stop believing, not to stop declaring the word over your child, and getting ready to do battle and wage warfare on your child. Mm-hmm. Anything less is going to be really difficult, because it is a warfare, and you're warring for that child's life, and you're warring not only for that child's life, but even for generations, because the children that will come out of that child also will be impacted. So literally, you're warring for the generations, your generations to come out of your family. It's a generational fight.
Yeah, it's a generational fight, and it's worth fighting. We cannot just allow the enemy to just take our children and do as he pleases willy-nilly on our children, when we can stand in the gap and pray for our children. Fight. If it calls for a fasting, even do it. It's for a good cause. It's for a soul. Jeanette Flakes Autoflock says, nothing so good than doing the word. And she's typed the word in capitals. And a family member writes, thank you so much, Dr. Pearl. Sometimes it's very hard to deal with teenagers. Yeah, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. And thank you so much, Ma, for sharing with that. So now I know that we are on the opposing side of this, and we are not the only ones who are opposing. But how long, Ma, can the opposition push against this? Do we have the strength to stand for long and like forever until this doesn't? Because with comprehensive sexuality education, when we look at it, it's driving to where we are now. It's how we got here. It's how we got to here, as you spoke and gave background last week. So this is how we got here. So, and we've seen government in the previous years passing bills and other things and without proper consultation with us. And sometimes even with the push that we give, we find sometimes it's not enough. You mentioned the other time how many people were there for the other bills before, like the Bella bill and others, that Christians didn't show up as much as we thought. So do we have that strength to push back and stand long? How long can we do that?
We don't have a choice if we want to see the next generation. I mean, do we believe scripture or not? Because it's the same word that tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we believe scripture, then we need to believe that by God's grace and by his ability and his strength in him, you know, Isaiah 40:31 says, it talks about mounting up on wings of an eagle. You know, when we dwell in him, when we're in his presence, then we can mount up and we don't grow weary, we don't grow tired. So those are the scriptures that tell us that we mustn't give up. We can't be fatigued. Like I said, we're fighting for a generation to come. So there's no way that we can give up on this. It's a kingdom mandate. It's a generational mandate. We're fighting for the lives of our children. And if the enemy if we give up, that means we've given up on the lives of our children. And we just can't afford to do that. Also, I want to say this. Mm-hmm. Look at some examples and things that are happening in other nations. And I'm trying not to be political about it, because I understand that there are people who support the Trump administration and there are those who don't. So this is neither here nor there. I'm not saying support this, but let me say this as a fact. America is one of the first nations to legalize abortion. And as a result, many of the nations around the world took the same example. But look what's happening now. There's been a pushback to undo that law.
Okay.
The court case of Wade versus Roe is now being undone. So that is hope over there right now. The CSE, you know, that teaches certain types of things, that you can select your gender, etc. Look what's happening now in America. So in just a few days, some of those things are being undone to say this is no longer applicable. So all I'm saying is that there's a point where you may think it looks hopeless, but we can see things changing in America, certain things changing. And so that alone should give us hope that, you know, even though it may not look like things are happening, but things are happening. So we need to press on. We need to keep on. And I believe that we will have a breakthrough and we will trust God to bring in righteous leaders who will begin to implement righteous laws and righteous policies as well. But we can't give up, because all the scriptures in the Bible, look at the man who was at the pool at Bethesda. 38 years he was there. Imagine if he had given up.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't have gotten his breakthrough and his healing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Look at the woman with the issue of blood. 18 years.
Yeah.
She was bent over. If she didn't push on and press in and press forward, she would not have gotten delivered of her situation. And there's so many examples in the Bible of us, you know, of people who were afflicted, who were in terrible circumstances, who had looked hopeless, but they got healed, they got delivered, they got a breakthrough because they refused to give up. So I want to say that to us as Christian community, that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, we will have persecutions, but we cannot give up, because if you give up, that means you have no faith.
Yeah.
And the Bible has told us that faith, even as small as a mustard seed, works. So we got to make sure that we stand on that faith and we encourage one another. This is what we're trying to do right now on this platform here, is to encourage you not to give up, because I know there are some mothers and fathers out there that are saying it's hopeless. I've talked to this child, and that's why I gave my testimony.
But there's no hopeless situation when it comes to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Yeah. Right, and that's why I shared my testimony to say that.
Thank you,
for
that,
a lot of people, thought that I was hopeless, but look what God, what the Lord has done so many years later.
Mother, such a powerful testimony there. We're going to take a break and then come back to talk to you some more. Hey, the new administration, the Trump administration, I'm looking at Vusi. Vusi is wearing a skinny jeannie, and doctor and the administration, the Trump administration, signed a bill to say men shouldn't wear skinny jeans anymore. Vusi, you wouldn't make it in He says it's straight. He says it's not skinny. Let's take a break. We're coming back.
Not skinny.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
That's where you're at. I am Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock on Heart to Heart. And I am with Dr. Pearl Coupe. We are answering the question that is at hand. Should our teenagers be given implants, contraceptive implants? Talking about the girl child, to be specific, to prevent pregnancy in South Africa. So we're looking at that and everything spiritually, everything that surrounds that spiritually, physically, and otherwise, health as well, as part of all of that. Gave you the sounds of Sissy Winans. We are waging war, and we are with what we are saying here. We're saying to the parents, go and pray for your children. There is a battle, there is a war against our teenagers. So take it to the Lord in prayer. Take time to pray for the children, be it you have your own or you don't. Even with children who are living in your neighborhood, pray for them. Pray for them. It's your responsibility as a gatekeeper. I see you, L, saying we're waging war. We are indeed. And I see you, Frank Jacobs. Hello to you. Thank you so much. Saying it's a great show. Hello to Shalom J. Shalom J saying, Sibongile and Mem, no need to re... Oh, okay. All right. But now, okay, Shalom J. All right. Let me pass it. I'll just give it to Ma on the side and she can talk to you on the side, I think. I'll also give you, she's also going to say how we can connect with her before we close. And then I think we can talk to her on the side. Now, Ma, when we're looking at all of this, how does it affect the family structure? Do we still have control over our families and our children as parents?
Well, I think the fact that people are, their parents out there already saying that the children are not listening means that we've lost some measure of control. And remember, we had this conversation before as well, when I said that about 15 years ago, I started warning the body of Christ to say that these laws, the agenda behind it is to take control away from parents. And I mentioned the hate speech bill. I mentioned so many laws. The first really very damaging law was the one that took away parents' ability to discipline their children and spank their children. And that constitutional court decision was made, I think, over 10 years ago already. And that's when I started being very vocal to say, this is the first step in the state taking away control. Because if you can't discipline your child or rebuke them, how are you going to control them? How? You know, there's nothing that you will actually, it's one of the disciplinary measures that the Bible has given us in terms of ensuring some level of discipline in the home. And that was taken away from us many, many years ago. Mm. So now if you try to discipline your child, especially physically, you know, with the rod, as the Bible does mention the rod, and we don't spank our children to kill them. Nobody wants to spank a child to kill them. But, you know, reasonable spanking discipline just in terms of making sure that they are become well-disciplined. And, you know, I always say this. I say that even the constitutional court judges who made that ruling I am almost positive most of them were spanked as children, and none of them were abused. They would not call themselves or describe themselves as abused children.
And I
was spanked.
And I think I've heard of many people who are thanking their parents for the discipline that they had, and a person saying if you didn't do that, mom, don't know. And I heard also there are those ones who are blaming their parents for where they ended up, to say, look at where I'm at because you never corrected me, so look at where I'm at.
Bible says that God disciplines those, he rebukes and corrects and disciplines those whom he loves. Mm. So discipline is a part of it. But I just wanted to say that that's where the genesis of all of this has been a built up slowly. It started by taking away parents' ability to control, to rebuke, to discipline, to correct their children. And slowly, slowly, kanglane, they've been putting in more laws. Now they're putting in all these stuff, encouraging children to be wayward, to be sexually promiscuous.
Mama,
to behave anyway.
Can you hold it for me a little bit? Let's take a family member on the line and come back to you. Hi, family. How are you?
I'm blessed. We are measure why you
I'm blessed, Babunkosi. Welcome.
Mam kupe ninjana.
Mama.
Nikona baba. Nikona unjana.
Ah, Jesu inkosi yabusa.
Amen, inkosi.
Yasifundiseni man. Ngobe, inkinga yethu faith. Sina bazalwane. Hayi ifaith yona eyinkinga. Ngobe umntwana ungakhuluma naye kabili kajaji sothi hayi lo mntwana akafuni ukushintsha. Awuboni ukuthi uyamlimaza ngaloku wena okushoyo ukuthi akafuni ukushintsha. Hayi lo mntwana lona kezwa. Sikhuluma from umntwana sesemncane angakenzi lutho olurong. Hayi lo mntwana lo uthi uyaganga. Hey, lo mntana lo uthakezwa mara singabazalwane. Asazi ukuthi imilomo yethu inamandla kangakanani. And izwi likaNkulunkulu yabona mina ngilithanda lapha ku-King James. Ngoba lithi teach the child, lithi train the child.
When they're young.
Kunomehluko phakathi kokuteacher nokutrainer. Ukutrainer into ya every day. Awukhathali.
Yeah.
Noma awubona ushintsho, noma umkhaba ubona usesemkhulu uyaqhubeka uyagijima. Uzawuze wehle, yikukutrainer lokho. Manje thina sifuna ukuba trainer, sifuna ukuba teacher.
Sure.
And njengoba nisho nithi sisempini. Izwi likaNkulunkulu lithi omuva kalala angakakwenzi okuhle. Mara mina ngifuna ukulala angakakwenzi okuhle. Ngiyakhohlwa ukuthi ekuseni emini entambama kufuna ngikhulekele iy'ngane zami ngizibiyele. Ngiyabonga sisi Sibongile.
Thank you so Amen. Much, Babunkosi. Sure. Babunkosi is challenging us as Christians to say we are so quick to give up and give in. And the Bible says train up a child. It doesn't say teach, it says train. And he's making an example that if you want to lose weight, if you want to lose the whatever weight, whatever fat that's there, you make sure that you are at the gym, you are disciplined, you eat right, you do, until you see it going down.
Yeah.
So the problem is with our faith as Christians. We give up on our children. Even when they are young, we start saying things up onto their lives. And sometimes we even forget how powerful our words are. And then when the fruits, when it's yielding fruits, we are the ones who are also puzzled by it. So he says, check.
Amen.
Yeah. We
fully agree. Yeah, we fully agree. There's one thing, though, because, you know, Bongi, I really love to, I don't like to speak the problem so much because we give power to the problem when all we can do is discuss the problem.
Mm.
We must be discussing solutions, which is why in the previous segments, we talked about the program that we offer, the Family Sexuality Education Program, which is now to empower parents to challenge what is being taught in schools. So we need to talk solutions. And I do want to invite people that I put the Family Sexuality Education Program on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need information around it, it's the last post on my Facebook page. Please look for Pearl Komoto, KGOMOTSO Coupe. And look for the blue verified mark, because a lot of Tata Machan's people out there who have opened fake accounts in my name.
Mm.
So, yeah, look for that, the blue verified star. You will see the program. It's got the program overview, and it's got the contact number. I want to urge parents that this is a program we put in lots of money, and we put in lots of time to make a three-day program that you can have as a parent or as a church. You can invite us in to teach and train how to counter what is being taught in the schools that is anti-biblical. The second thing I want to talk about in terms of solution, because we can't leave people without hope. We must leave them with hope. Second thing I want to say, what can we do as parents and as a church, aside from educating our children at home?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is very important, Bongi, and I want to talk about something called school governing bodies.
Yeah.
School governing bodies. The acronym for that is SGBs.
Mm.
So what is a school governing body? A school governing body, it's a committee kind of, which is set up, established in almost all the schools, which now promotes the best interest of the school. And it sets out how the school will operate. It's got code of conduct for learners. It decides on school policies and which ones should be included.
Yeah.
So for instance, when I was in a meeting with some of the senior people from Department of Basic Education, and they were trying to push through a law to allow alcohol to be sold on school.
I was
challenging that and saying we will not allow it as Christians. One of the things that the deputy director told me of basic education, he said, if you want to stop these, even if the law is passed, he said the SGBs, the school governing bodies, have the power to overturn and say that even though it's a law, we will not implement it at our school. So what am I saying? I am saying that the school governing bodies are very powerful, that they can decide ultimately what the policy and what is taught and what the policy is of that particular school. They have the power of decision-making, the power of planning, negotiation, power over school finances, and the administration and control over the school. And one of the other things, Bongi, that the director told me, he said, you Christians are actually to blame, because he said, it's you Christians, you complain the most about our policies.
But doing nothing.
You are not there. Mm. When it comes to attending parent-teacher meetings, you are not there. When it comes to SGBs, you are not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something I really wanted to say to the Christian community. Baha'i, so I've been talking to some, and we have people, you know, in our group, some of my groups, mentoring groups, who have now started to join the SGBs, because I told them, Bazalwane, we're losing our power. So get on these SGBs, because then you can set the policy and the rules that govern the school. So I want to encourage the Christian community, if you're not going to take interest in these SGBs, then you are giving over power and control to the enemy to decide the policies. And the enemy is sitting on these SGBs. And Luna Bazalwane, you are just not there. And the SGBs, so this is what I want to leave the Christian community with.
Mm.
Take an interest in your child's school, in the environment, in your child's well-being. Attend the parental meetings. Participate in the election process at SGB. Make sure you are office holders in the SGB. Volunteer to be a part of the governing body.
Mm.
And raise your concerns. Don't just be an office holder, but, you know, be active, raise concerns, and bring suggestions as an elected leader so that you can be the change that you want to see in your child's school. So I really wanted to talk about that, because the SGBs We're losing it. We don't have any power. And that's one of the solutions that we must now get very serious
put into
about
place as
in
well.
2025 yeah. and beyond. Yeah.
Yeah. Ma, again, your Facebook page is Pearl Khomotso Kupe. And which yeah. post are we looking for? I think Ma should pin
post.
It. Shouldn't you do like pin? It's pinned. It's up there. Whenever we open, then it's there.
I can do what?
Pin.
Oh, pin it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I will pin it and I'll do an add highlight as well. Followers and pin it. Yeah. So I'm going to pin it and keep it there. And yes, so there's information. There's a flyer attached. On that flyer, there are contact numbers of our facilitator. You can also feel free to inbox me. And I will put you in touch with our facilitators who conduct the training mm-hmm. to give you specifics around when the workshops are going to be and how to get involved. So mm-hmm. thank you for that idea. I'm going to pin it and I'm going to also highlight it for those who are on my page, my followers. Yeah, those who are following.
Thank you so much, Ma, for talking to us. I know we are not done. Mama, we are not. The truth is that we are not done. We have to talk about protecting the girl child, and not only the girl child. Today, I feel like also the boy yeah. child. And I think that's
absolutely.
When we can wrap it up nicely when we do that. But yeah, we'll come back for that. I think today I would like Ma to pray for our family members. I'm receiving some messages from parents who are concerned about their young ones, and they're asking themselves questions. And I think some have been encouraged. Not I think. I know some have been encouraged as well today.
Yeah.
Looking forward to God moving in their families. But I think let's take it to the Lord in prayer as closure for
Amen.
Today.
Amen. Definitely. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord God, for the information that you've given us to empower us, to give us strategy, to be like the sons of Issachar, to know the times and the season that we are in, and to know what we ought to do in this season. Right now, Lord, I want to lift up every parent, especially, who is struggling, Father, whose child has already been the recipient of such unbiblical teachings. Father, I lift up parents who are feeling like they have no hope, and I thank you that you are their hope. Christ is the hope of glory. Be their hope right now. I pray that you strengthen them, that you strengthen their arms, and that you encourage them, and that you give them hope, Lord God. And you know that even though weeping may endure for a night, that joy will come in the morning, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you will encourage them in their faith walk, that they will not give up, and they will know, Lord God, that they will be persistent in their faith, knowing that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, beyond their every hope, their every imagination, Father God. And so, Father, I thank you that you give them wisdom, wisdom on what to say, on how to counsel them. I pray for the sevenfold Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of understanding and the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of wisdom and obedient, reverent fear of God to be in them as they engage with their children and speak to their children. Father, I pray for their children also, that they will have open hearts, receptive spirits, O God, to receive what their parents are saying to the extent that they have been influenced demonically. Father, I pray for their deliverance, that their ears will open and hear, and that their eyes will be opened to the trap of the enemy and the snare of the enemy. And so, Father, we thank you for divine intervention, that, Lord God, you are he who will give us testimonies, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony, the word of testimony, testifying of your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, and your divine intervention. So, Father, we lift up every home, every household. We thank you for protection over every household. Psalm 91 protection, that, Lord, the snares and the baits will not find our children, but we will be empowered to teach, train, equip, and activate our children to be polished arrows in the hands of the mighty warrior, and they will stand at the gates and contend with their enemies. In Yeshua's mighty name we have prayed, Lord. Amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Ma. We love you. Have a great weekend. Can't wait to be talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Love you lots, and a great weekend to everybody out there. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Ma. And that, my family, is Dr. Pearl Kupe. And do remember, for those parents who have been tuned in and you're saying, I would love, or for the churches, organizations that say we would love for these teachings to come to our churches, go visit Mom's Facebook page. She's Pearl Komotso Kupe on Facebook, and that's where you can find all the information about the sexuality education now based on God's Word, teaching our children from the Word of God on how to do things from the Word of God, training them, as Wavunkosi said. We're heading to the 2 o'clock news bulletin, and when we're coming back, we're talking to Lerato Machaba. So do not touch the dial. I can't wait to be talking to her. She's not alone in the studio. She has her team with her, and we are so excited to be hosting them this afternoon. So yeah, do stay tuned.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.